Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must. Say it again. Buscarini? Alright. Jordan Buscarini. Alright. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back live on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM from the Auto Farm Studios. It's Friday night. We got some major college football coming up tomorrow. Of course, do not forget the Utah Utes will have an opportunity to take one step closer to punching their ticket to the Pac-12 championship contest. They'll play Arizona State tomorrow right here on KOAL. Live coverage will begin at 1 p.m. Kickoff is set for 2. Bill Riley and Scott Mitchell will bring you the play-by-play call in that contest. Let's talk about some of the other massive matchups that we have this weekend. And to do that, we're going to bring in a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports, and also Dolphins Wire at USA Today. Antoine, it's a pleasure, as always, to get you back on. Thank you for some more college football talk.
Yeah, good to be with you, Jordan.
We'll start by talking about the college football rankings. I was a little disturbed. I may have went on a rant earlier on this week. Number 1 through 4, Bama, Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame. The first two out would be Michigan and Georgia. Antoine, I believe it's a travesty that LSU was number 3. I think it's a slap in the face to Notre Dame and a slap in the face to any independent school that's 8-0 with the schedule that the Irish have had up to this point to be number 4. I do believe it'll play itself out, but it makes no sense to me that Notre Dame beats Michigan. Michigan is number 5. LSU beats Georgia. Georgia's number 6, and LSU is ranked higher than Notre Dame. I don't understand the logic. Can you help me out with this one?
No, I can't. And what it is to me, this is why I like the BCS to begin with. It just kind of evolved a playoff around it, because when you have a committee of people choosing these teams who are going to be 1 through 25 or whatever the case may be, it's bias. Like, they don't want to say it, but it's clear bias. You have people in there that clearly think the SEC is just the best conference in America, and if you have an LSU and Alabama up there in the rankings with one loss or undefeated, they're going to be ranked higher than some of the other teams, than a Notre Dame that's undefeated, than a Michigan team that has one loss. So, yeah, I think it's clear bias. Obviously, as we talked about off air, I think it's going to work itself out. But if it's a situation where LSU were to beat Alabama maybe by field goal or so in a close game, then you create a little bit of controversy, because then what do you do with Alabama? And then what happens to them if they went out? We kind of saw what that happened look like last year, where they didn't get to the SEC championship, they didn't win the SEC, but yet they still got in the playoffs and ended up winning the national title.
And I think that could be the case again this year if LSU does in fact get a win on Saturday. And I don't know if they will, and I've said this multiple times. I can understand someone telling me that Alabama is the best team in the country, because it appears that way. But at the same time, the College Football Playoff Committee wants to put an emphasis on body of work. Give me a break. That's a bunch of hogwash, and you know it. It's all based off of the eye test, because Alabama's body of work has been crap up to this point. Now, with that being said, if LSU gets a win, the committee thinks so highly of Alabama that there's a great chance they could get into the College Football Playoff for the second consecutive year without getting to the conference title, in which... If that happens, look, Antoine, I'm sitting here saying get rid of conference championship games. I know a lot has to happen for us to get to that point, but that's kind of where I'm sitting at right now.
Yeah, I think then it's no value on it. I think having the conference championship is supposed to have value on it. I think that winner, especially in the SEC, that winner to me should be automatic to get into the conference, get into the championship as far as the playoffs. This is why I kind of want an 18 playoff, for the simple fact that if you have those 5 spots from the Power 5 conferences, you get in. If you win your conference, just get those teams in, and then you can have 3 at-large spots for other teams, whether it be a team like UCF, the American, or 2 or 3 at-large, like a Notre Dame. You can have Notre Dame as an independent and have another team from other teams from big conferences. I think like that's the way to go, as far as I think that's the fair way to do it, as opposed to just you're not valuing the conference championships at that point because you let Alabama in and they didn't even win their conference championship. I mean, not saying they wasn't one of the top four teams, but the fact of the matter is they didn't get the job done. They didn't even play for the conference championship last year. Auburn did, and I don't think it's necessarily fair to a team like an Ohio State who won the Big Ten last year, who I think the Big Ten was a very good had a very good conference and a very deep conference last year.
Well, let's talk about the SEC's marquee matchup this week, Alabama-LSU. Alabama opened up as 14.5-point favorites in this contest. This is by far the most intriguing game, I'm going to say, of the weekend. And I think it's intriguing from a perspective of we just don't know how good Alabama is yet. Again, we can sit here and say, yeah, they look the part. And I agree, they do look the part. On the flip side, LSU is a very good football team. And really, again, you don't have to be a guru to find a pathway to victory for LSU in football. It's simple. If Joe Burrow doesn't turn the football over, this team's undefeated. It's that simple. I mean, the one loss this year, I believe he had three interceptions. Outside of that, he's been nearly flawless. And I'm talking about his mid-range throws and using guys like Nick Brossette out of the backfield. When Burrow does that, LSU is tough to beat.
Yeah, and they run the football. LSU's the same team they've always been, except the fact that now they want to get just efficient quarterback play. It doesn't have to be you don't have to be Tua, Alabama. You don't have to be one of the top elite quarterbacks, Will Greer, anybody, Justin Herbert, anybody of that nature as far as the quarterback position at LSU. They play great defense. They like to run the ball with Brissette, Clyde Edwards as well, and also they just take care of the football. If they can do that and just get yards and points whenever they can offensively, I think they definitely could have a chance in this football game. But obviously, if you turn the ball over, like you said, what they did against Florida, who also has an elite defense, then you're going to be in trouble. So this week, you're going to face another elite defense in Alabama, and that's the key. That's as simple as it gets. Just don't turn the ball over. If you're able to run the football, just keep the ball out of Alabama's offensive hand, out of their hands, and you have a definitely chance to win, especially playing in Death Valley.
Again, we're being joined right now by Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports as we talk about a big week in college football. Let's stick with the SEC, but we'll move over to the East. Basically, the race in the SEC East comes down to this game, Georgia-Kentucky. Georgia's got to go on the road to take on the Wildcats. It is an elimination game in the playoffs as well. A two-loss Georgia team would most certainly be out of the playoff picture. Kentucky would then have a clear path to the SEC East Championship. Nobody saw that coming at the beginning of the season. Kentucky's needed some last-second heroics just a week ago to get past Mizzou to set up this showdown. Kentucky finds ways to win football games. I think Georgia gets a win here, Antoine, but at the same time, Kentucky's a fun team to watch. I've been entertained by him, to say the least.
And their defense is really good. They haven't. Here's a stat for you that a lot of people don't know about Kentucky. Outside of their A&M win, they have not let up and also Central Michigan, I believe, has scored 20 points against them as well. No team has scored over 20 points against them this year. Even the A&M loss in overtime, A&M only scored 20. So that shows you a testament of how good their defense is. Benny Snell has been absolutely wonderful. I think the SEC Player of the Year, at least so far. No matter what happens, I think from this on out, unless there's an injury occurred to him. The way it looks right now, looking at Kentucky's schedule, I think they're going to finish 10-2, unless they lose to Tennessee or Louisville, and I can't see that happening whatsoever. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I think they're playing at home in Kroger Field. I can't believe I'm calling it that. But, yeah, they're playing at home in that field. I think they have an opportunity to pull up the upset. But I'm going to go with Georgia in a close game. I think just the talent and the depth that they have on that roster will probably be a little bit too much, especially in the fourth quarter.
I agree with you. But nonetheless, Kentucky's in a perfect spot, number 9 in the initial college football playoff rankings. I think it's a little high. I'm a little bit shocked to see that they're ranked higher than Ohio State, a little bit surprised to see that they're ranked higher even than Central Florida. But at the same time, if they get a win against Georgia, a shot at the playoffs is a very real deal for Kentucky if they get a win on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the cards. Obviously, you went out, you beat Georgia, you beat Tennessee, which is their last SEC game of the year. You win that, then you're in the SEC championship. As long as you take care of business against Middle Tennessee State and Louisville, you have a shot to play in that playoff. I'm not saying I believe they're going to beat Alabama or LSU, but they will at least have the opportunity in Atlanta to do so. If they win that game, then there's no reason to believe that they won't be in the college football playoffs.
Let's move on. Based on what we see from the initial playoff rankings from this point on, every week is an elimination game for Notre Dame. They didn't get the love. They're number four in the playoff rankings. You and I just had this conversation. It doesn't matter if the Irish don't win. A lot of people are actually picking Notre Dame to fall on the road to Northwestern tomorrow. 5:15 start time. This game is on ESPN. I don't see this happening. When I take a look at the game and I look at X's and O's and numbers, Clayton Thorson, the quarterback for Northwestern, he's thrown 10 interceptions to 10 touchdowns this season. The reason that's a problem, Notre Dame has a pretty elite secondary, and the defense in the middle has been fantastic throughout the entire season. I don't see Notre Dame slipping up on Saturday, despite the fact that this one's on the road.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I clearly think that Northwestern is one of those teams not a lot of people know about, but actually they're in the midst in the Big Ten in that division. So they have a chance to win that division there. I think some of the players you definitely have to watch out for if you know the name is Jeremy Larkin, who is their leading rusher right now, who's averaging almost 5 yards per carry and has 5 touchdowns. Also, Flynn Nagel, one of the top receivers, nearly has 60 receptions on the year. I think if you're the Irish, those are the two guys you have to keep an eye on. I trust Notre Dame. I think their defense is good enough to go in the Northwestern. It's not too much of a hostile territory, even though when Notre Dame comes to town, everybody gets excited. They're kind of like a rock band, no matter what their record is, everybody gets perked up to play them. So it's because of the name and the elite status. But I think they're good enough to go out and mature enough to beat a Northwestern team on the road.
Another elimination game, number 13, Penn State will travel on the road to Michigan, 1:45 start time in this contest. Look, Penn State, they have dwindling Big Ten East hopes. They had to really work to get past Iowa. Now they got to find a way to top what's been a really rejuvenated Michigan squad. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about Jim Harbaugh not being back next season following a loss to Notre Dame to open up the season. Since then, the Wolverines have been very, very good. Shea Patterson has found that big play capability. A lot of the reason why I thought that he would be the number one quarterback taken in the upcoming NFL draft. I'm starting to see that type of Shea Patterson, Antoine.
Yeah, definitely. He's been elite. He's been great since that first loss of the season. I also feel like they're getting contributed. Their defense has been top solid, among the best in college football, and they're able to run the football as well. So you're able to do that. You're not turning the football over. Patterson's not, and they're running the football. They're doing exactly what Michigan football is, just having solid quarterback play and running the football. And in Penn State, yeah, like you said, they barely squeaked out a win against the Iowa team that I don't think anybody's convinced they're among one of the best teams in college football, even though I think they're probably going to finish 10-2, but it's just simply a product of their weak schedule. But having said that, I like Michigan. I'm going to trust they're at home. I feel like they're the better team. They're playing better right now than Penn State, and I think they're going to get the victory there in Ann Arbor.
Elsewhere, we have West Virginia going on the road to take on Texas. Again, I'm going to go ahead and use this as an elimination contest, I guess, for West Virginia. Texas, I know, broke a lot of hearts with their setback to Oklahoma State. They're still number 17 in the college football playoff, but it's a long shot at best. West Virginia with one loss, and the reason I bring them up, Antoine, is because there's a grip of teams with one loss. I mean, you go all the way from 5 to 10. All of those teams have one loss. If West Virginia continues to win by process of elimination, they're going to be in the race as we get down to the final couple weeks. This is one of the teams I don't count out just yet.
No, they still got to play Oklahoma the last weekend of the season on Black Friday. So they beat Texas, they beat Oklahoma, they beat Oklahoma State on the road. I mean, they have a shot to get there. I'm not saying they will, but there's a lot of teams. You have to look at the rankings right now. There are a lot of teams from the same conference that are going to play each other. In particular, this weekend, you have Georgia and Kentucky. Obviously, we talked about Alabama, LSU. You have Florida up there. You're curious to see if they're going to win out. I assume if West Virginia were to win out, they would probably pass Florida in those rankings. So, yeah, you have a lot of teams that are kind of bunched up together. Obviously, Michigan and Ohio State are going to play each other. So, yeah, it's going to be an opportunity for them to move up those rankings, assuming that they went out. Obviously, they have to first take care of business on the road against Texas, a team that ended up losing a thrilling game against Oklahoma State last weekend, 38-35. So, yeah, I expect there to be a ton of offense, not a lot of defense there on the board, especially on the West Virginia side. Will Greer has had a terrific season once again. It's just going to be about – it might be one of those situations where whoever has the ball last end up winning this game. And I'm going to go with Texas just simply because they're at home, but it wouldn't surprise me if West Virginia would have pulled this out on the road.
Antoine, we'll end with this. Pac-12 football, we get the Utah Utes tomorrow taking on Arizona State. Utah now has a sheer clear path to getting to the Pac-12 championship for the first time since joining the Pac-12 close to 10 years ago. Washington State would be the team on the north. We've talked about how the Pac-12 would be on the outside looking into the college football playoff if it wasn't Washington or Stanford or maybe even Oregon. We never talked about Washington State. Top 10 right now, number 8 in the country, and they're 7-1. And really in a decent spot right now because, again, you just use the process of elimination of teams in front of them. Washington State is a team you have to pay attention to in this race down the final four games.
Yeah, they're just a team that's just been under the radar. Nobody's really talking about Washington State whatsoever, and they have a terrific quarterback who's playing really well. Really well, and Gardner Minshew II, who's throwing 26 touchdowns this year, who transferred from East Carolina, who I don't know how he got out of there, but that's another story there. But he's been terrific under the Mike Leach air raid system, and Washington State's just playing terrific football right now. They have a 3 wide receiving core, really 4 to be honest with you. It's just been dangerous, and they're a tough team to stop offensively. And I look at what the Cougars are able to do offensively, and you look at the rest of their schedule, it really sets up that I think they may go 10-1 up until that Washington game on Black Friday on the 23rd, and that's probably going to determine who's going to be in that Pac-12 championship.
Antoine Staley, always good enough to take out the time to join us each week to talk college football. Before I let you go, Antoine, I'll let the listeners know where they can find you online to check out more of your work.
You find me at Antoine Sports. Also find me at Twitter at Antoine Staley.
Antoine, it's always a pleasure. We'll do it again next week.
All right, Itch. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. It's a Friday edition of the show live from the Auto Farm Studios.